127. Psalm 127 together. We'll read a couple of verses. It's Sundays like this that I had the winter worship in mind. Snowing outside, tonight won't be a nice drive, and so it's wonderful when a plan comes together. Psalm 127 and verse number 1. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Let's pray together. Lord, help us tonight, help us this afternoon as we look at your word. And I pray that you would use it to help us, to guide us and direct our thoughts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, complete these sentences. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm coming unglued. I'm at my wits. I'm really stressed. I'm ready to throw in the... My life is out of balance. Did you say balance? You're wrong. Out of control. My life is out of control. Now, my sermon is about balance. That's why I had to put him in his place there. We all know, and we often use these phrases in our life to describe our lives each and every day. But how does our life get this way? How do we get to the place where we say, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm going unglued, I'm really stressed out, I'm ready to throw in the towel? Well, how we get to that place is our life gets out of balance. And God never intended for our lives to be this way. In fact, our scripture teaches us that it's pointless or vain to live life like this. Now, what is the alternative? Well, it's our message that we're going to look at this afternoon, and that is learning to maintain balance in our lives. Now, balance is an interesting study, and there's lots in the Bible that speak of it. Jesus had a perfect balance of what? Grace and truth. The Bible says that he came both in grace and in truth. Now, when we look at individual lives, there are those who focus on the truth aspect. You know, if you break the law, there's consequences. And no mercy, no grace, this is the law, you stepped over the line, bam, you deserve everything you're going to get. And then there's others who focus more on the grace aspect, where, you know, they're overly forgiving and they're overly presenting grace. And the Bible says that Jesus came 100% in grace and in truth, and he had a balance in these things. Needless to say, we need a balance in our life as well. And so what I want us to do this afternoon is I want us to look at this idea of having balance in our life. And we're going to use an acrostics for the word balance and give you some main points, some pointers, some biblical truths to help us to maintain balance in our life each and every day. All right, so number one, maintaining balance or having balance, it starts with this. Number one, build my life around Christ. Build my life around Christ. Perhaps we would think that this should be automatic in the life of a Christian, that this should be a given. We build our life around Christ. We understand that. We know that. But this truth to many Christians is foreign. The reality is they may know about it in their mind, but they're not practicing it in their life. Now, the only totally balanced person who ever lived on this earth was Jesus. Jesus was totally balanced. And so it's a given if we put him at the center of our lives, he will teach us and help us to be a balanced individual. How do we know what our life is centered around? How do we know what is at the center of our life? Well, what do we think about the most? What do we spend most of our time on? What do we devote our resources toward? We can say what we want, but the truth is that this will reveal the center of our life, what our focus is on, what is the most important thing to us. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Our lives can be out of balance when good things become the center of our life. And what I mean by good things is there are things in our life that are not evil things, and they're not wrong things. They just shouldn't be at the center of our life. An example would be some people put family at the center of their life, and every decision, everything they make is based on family. Listen, family is important. We understand that. It's ordained of God. But family ought not to be at the center of our life. Other people put their vocation or their profession at the center of their life. And God tells us that we should work, and God says if we don't work, we shouldn't eat, and God stresses that and focuses on that, and our profession, our vocation is important to God, but it's not the center of our life. Even people will put ministry at the center of their life. You know, ministry can become an idol in someone's life. You know, the reality is that ministry is God-given. And God stresses the importance of ministry, but ministry cannot be the center of a person's life. When family or their vocation or a pastime or ministry, when any of these things that are good things become the center of someone's life, then they become not balanced. They become not balanced. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." You know, we talk about ministry, and obviously a church is built upon ministry. We need people to serve in various capacities, and we serve because we love God. But there are people who put ministry at the center of their life, and it becomes more important to them. Their service becomes more important to them than God himself. You know, it's kind of like a gift. When you give an infant or a baby a gift, they take that gift, they unwrap it, they take out the gift, and they play with the box, right? And ministry is the box in which the gospel has come in. And so many Christians play with the box and adore the box, but they forget about the purpose of the box, and that is the Lord, and he ought to have the center of our life. And so we have to evaluate our life and say, okay, who has the center of my life? What consumes me? What is my life built upon? And the Bible teaches us if we want to have balance, the Lord has to be at the center of our life. All right? So number one, let's think about that. Build my life around Christ. Number two, accept my humanity. Accept my humanity. Now, I say that not as a cop-out or not as an excuse, but I want us to stop and think about this. We need to stop pretending that we're God. We need to let God be God and understand that we are the sheep of his pasture, and we look to him for wisdom and direction in our life. We need to stop trying to pretend that we have all the answers and that we can solve everyone's problem, and that we need to stop pretending that we can meet everyone's need and fulfill everyone's expectation. When we don't accept our humanity, our life becomes unbalanced. We are human beings, and we have limitations. Now, God is infinite, but we are finite. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 15, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city." Solomon said it's dumb to wear yourself out with work and with labor. The reality is you don't have all of the answers. You have to trust in God, that God will take care of the necessities of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, the necessities of life, will be added unto you. You know, workaholics are just folks who live their life out of balance. That's all it is. They live their life out of balance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Our strength, our ability is found in God. We are flesh. We are earthen vessels. And listen, it's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay to lack wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We have to look to the Lord for our strength and for our help. Listen, we don't have all the answers, but God does have all the answers. And it's a blessing to look to him. And Paul reminds us that God has decided to place this treasure, and this is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, inside of us. We are earthen vessels. We are jars of clay. And the Bible says that God is empowering us. Our strength, our help comes from him. I mean, God could have sent the Spirit of God to indwell in some majestic temple on this earth, but the reality is he chose instead to indwell inside of us, Christians, believers. And so if we are going to maintain balance in our life, we have to realize that we are just earthen vessels. We are just humans. And we need to depend upon the power and the strength of God to help us each and every day. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, verse 73. It says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. God help us. God help us. And if we're going to maintain balance, we need to understand our limitations. Number two, we need to limit our labor. We need to limit our labor. Now, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. Now, this is principle living, okay? Now, obviously, we don't have a Sabbath day as far as a holy day, but there's a principle that God gives to us. And the principle is simple, that God created us to work and to rest, and that rest is important. Rest is important. We are vessels of clay, and we need rest. And this is the principle of the Sabbath that God gives to us. The Sabbath means day of rest. We are a people that need rest. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, we talk about the principle of Sabbath. The Bible says this, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God had a purpose in the Sabbath. God didn't just have or establish among the Jewish people the Sabbath just for the Sabbath. No, he had a purpose in it. It was made for man. And the purpose of it was because God made us and God knew that we needed rest. God knew that we needed rest. And so we need rest. And I'm, obviously, Saturday for everyone can't be a Sabbath, but I'm saying that we need to understand the need of rest. If we don't rest, we can become unbalanced in our life. We need to rest physically. We need to rest emotionally. And we need to refocus spiritually. And this is God's plan for our life. People who think that they are quote-unquote Superman and that they don't need rest, they could just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, will find out that they cannot keep going. And by the way, when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, he tempted him at his worst. He was hungry, he was tired. And in those times of temptation, when you are at your weakest, that's when the devil shows up. That's when the devil presents temptation to you. And so it's important to understand this principle. this principle, not commandment, principle, the principle of rest. If we're going to be balanced in our life, then we need to understand the importance of rest. And then number four, we need to also adjust our values. Adjust our values. The second law of thermodynamics says energy spontaneously tends to flow only from being concentrated in one place to becoming diffused or dispersed and spread out. And this illustration is seen throughout nature. The idea of an Energizer bunny who never runs out is a myth. I've purchased Energizer batteries before. Listen, they don't just keep going and going and going and going and going. They do run out after time. And we may think that we can just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. But this is not the case. We slow down physically. We slow down spiritually. And so what is the answer to this? We have to adjust our values. We only have a certain amount of time every day. We can't do everything. We can't be all things to all people. And so we have to adjust our values in our life. And this means we have to constantly correct our course. We constantly have to make adjustments. Because if we don't make adjustments, then we end up being that person who majors on minors. And the things that are the most important are the things that mean very little to God. We start living our life trying to keep up with the proverbial Joneses, focusing on materialism, focusing on things that cause us to be out of balance in our life. The Bible says this, Ecclesiastes 4:4, again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The Bible says in Mark 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you live your life for something and you get that thing and it's not God, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied. The Bible says that we can easily be possessed by our possessions. Our possessions begin to own us. And we live for those things. But the Bible teaches us a better way. And the greatest things in life are not things at all. It's our pursuit for godliness. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. The Bible teaches us that we are to adjust our values. What is the most important thing to me? What is the most important thing in my life? We can't do everything. We'll burn out. And so we can only focus on the things that are the most important. And the most important is God, of course. The most important is what God loves and what God cares about, the souls of men. The most important is our family and the ministry of our family. We have to adjust our values. And then number five, we need to nourish our inner life. We need to nourish our inner life. 50 or 60 years ago, you would hear this expression a lot in our Christian circles. He's on fire for God. And it's something you would hear often. Oh, you know, he's on fire for God. I remember this one evangelist, I was reading their biography, and I forget the name of the evangelist, but they asked him, how in the world did you get such great crowds? And he said, I set myself on fire for God and people came to watch me burn. It's an expression that's not used often in our world today. But the idea of on fire for God speaks of our passion for the things of the Lord. You know, as a child, we grew up in our home in Nova Scotia. We grew up with wood-burning fireplace, a stove. And as a child, I remember we'd wake up for school early in the morning and everyone would just head to that stove because our home was so cold. And we had backup heat oil, but it wasn't used often. The stove was the main source of heat in our home. And so we wake up in the morning, and I remember eating my cereal over the wood stove. You know, it was so cold. And I never thanked my dad for it. I would thank him today if I could. But thanking him for getting up early, the one who got up early in the cold to make that fire for everyone else to enjoy. Truly a wonderful blessing. But, you know, a wood stove is a wonderful thing. And you know, as kids, we would all run to that wood stove. But it was a lot of work. A lot of work that I really didn't see much of it. You know, there was loading the wood and unloading it. There was stacking it, carrying it. We had a giant woodshed the back of our property. And my dad would go out and cut that wood and split that wood and pile it in that shed. And, you know, as a kid, I didn't see much of it. As I got older, I did a little bit of that. But, you know, there's making the fire and adjusting the damper. I mean, there's a lot of work in having and owning a wood stove. And the same is true with our passion for the things of God. We have to monitor that passion, and we have to tend to keep it, because if we're not careful, we will find that that fire will burn out or it will grow cold. And maybe here today, your on fire for God is not the way that it ought to be. Or maybe you could say it's not the way it used to be. I want you to know that if you don't nourish your inner life and you don't stroke that fire and you don't make sure that there's fuel in that fire, if you're not careful, that fire will burn out. You have to constantly nourish your inner life. The Bible says it this way. The Bible says, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And sometimes we're so focused on the spiritual life of other people that we forget we have a fire of our own that has to be kept. And we're so busy trying to work on someone else's passion for God and direction for God, maybe our focus is on our kids, that we forgot that, wait a minute, we have a passion that maybe has become cold. And so how do we nourish our inner life? Well, I think it's the same way we could draw illustration, the same way we would nourish our physical life. You know, we need proper food and exercise. We have to monitor the fire. The Bible says, I will delight thyself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. I mean, even the Lord Jesus took time and rested and prayed in the wilderness, got away from the crowds of people and prayed. And so it's important for us to focus on our inner life and our relationship with the Lord. And if we don't do that, we become imbalanced in our life. Let me give you some questions that will help you. If you want to kind of look at your Christian life today and monitor that fire that's burning in your soul, these questions will help you to kind of get a pulse of where you are in your passion for the Lord. All right, number one, do you thirst for God? Do you seriously search and seek the Lord? Are you desirous of knowing what God has for you? Even if it's a command to follow or a sin to forsake, you don't care where it leads you. You just desire to know God in a greater way. Are you thirsting for God? Are you are you governed by the Word of God? Is the Bible important to you? Does your opinion end where God's word begins? Even if you're wrong, even if you have to turn direction in your life, are you governed by the word of God? Are you loving? Are you loving? The nearer we are to the Lord, nearness is likeness, and we know that God is love. And so are we a loving individual? Do we love people? Are we concerned about people? Are we sensitive to God's presence? Do we just openly sin, not caring that God is with us wherever we go? that he is with us and sees us and knows our thoughts and our inner being? Or are we sensitive to know that God will never forsake us, nor will he leave us? Let me ask you this. Do you have a growing concern for the temporal and spiritual needs of other people? Are you concerned about the needs of individuals? Are you concerned about the spiritual needs of maybe your children, your family, aunts and uncles, maybe a mom and dad? Are you concerned about their place with God, their position? Do you delight in the bride of Christ? The church is God's plan. And do you delight in the bride of Christ? Are there spiritual disciplines increasingly important to you? Disciplines are truths that we have to follow, that we have to be disciplined to do it, like reading our Bible. It doesn't just naturally happen. I don't just wake up in the morning and all of a sudden don't even think about it. I just walk up to the Bible, open it, start reading and praying. No, it's a discipline. I have to make a decision to do that. And are these disciplines important to you? Important to you? Let me ask you this question. Do you still grieve over sin? Do you still grieve over sin? Are you a quick forgiver? And number 10, do you yearn for heaven and to be with Jesus? These questions may help give to you and to reveal to you the temperature of your heart and where you are with the Lord. You know, if we have found our fire growing cold, then we can become out of balance in our life. And we have to rekindle that fire. We use the word revival, and that's what the idea of revival is. Revival is just rekindling that flame. All right, number six, let's quickly finish this now. Number six, commit our daily schedule to God. Commit our daily schedule to God. All of us have the same amount of time as other people. We are all busy. We have different tasks. We have different jobs. We have different purposes. And so we have to give our schedules to God and let God be in control of them. The Bible says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You know, to so many Christians, they're like sitting in a bathtub with 1,000 ping pongs, and you push some down and some pop up, and that's their life every day, trying to keep everything in balance and trying to keep everything, you know, underwater. And it's frustrating and it's demanding and it takes the joy out of living. And God doesn't want us to live our life that way. We have to commit our schedules to God. And yeah, I'll be honest with you. You can plan out your schedule and then things happen that you have no control over. And you just have to submit that, hey, God just made a turn in your life, and with joy and with patience and with trust in God, you make that change. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that your schedule is in God's hands and he's in control. We don't, you know, as James teaches us, we don't, you know, say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I got this to do and I don't have time for this. And I don't have time to be sick and I don't have time. Listen, we say if God will, because he's in control of our schedules and he has a plan. And sometimes we become so unbalanced that God has to put us on our back so that we can refocus our attention on him and see what's most important in life. And then let's look at this. Number seven, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. God intends for us to enjoy the life that he has given to us. We are given a life not so that we have to dredge through it, but God wants us to enjoy it. God has given us children to enjoy the children. They're a gift from God. And enjoy the moments. Are there times with children that are pressing? Yeah. Are there times where it's frustrating? Absolutely. But listen, enjoy every moment. Enjoy every moment. Life is a gift from God, and enjoy the moments that we have. The Bible says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. You don't have to feel guilty to enjoy your life. God has given us life and life more abundantly. And God adds to our life. He doesn't take it away. And so live in the moment. Live in the moment. We do not live in the past, and we don't live in the future. We live in the right now, because the right now is life. It's life. And if we aren't careful, we can become out of balance and miss the blessings of the here and the now. And there are some people who are so covetous that they are always wanting what they don't have that they never enjoy what they do have. And God says, listen, enjoy the fruit of your labor. It is the gift of God. Of course, listen, a balanced life. We should plan for the future. We should plan for the future. You know, don't go home and say, well, Pastor Burns says, don't plan for the future. Get rid of all of our savings. No, balance. Balance. We are to plan, and we can make a list of things to do, and we can do all the planning that we want, but at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we understand that God is in control. The Bible says in John chapter 10, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If we allow ourselves to become focused on anything other than life right now, we can run a risk of becoming out of balance. And as a result, we can miss out on the joy that God intends for us to have in this life. The Bible says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. A sound heart is one that is balanced. It is one that is centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer, we cannot take Christ from the hub of our life. Because if we do that, our life becomes out of balance and we begin to focus on things that we ought not to focus on. Building our lives on values that last means we must concentrate on maintaining balance in our life. And there are people who were on one end and maybe they've gotten hurt or something happened and then all of a sudden they go all the way over to the other side. And listen, this is a dangerous thing. Maintain balance in your life. Keep Christ at the center. Adjust your values. Keep your eyes on Him, and God will help us to live balanced lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word this afternoon. We're grateful for the opportunity we have.